Hello.
Hey, is this Mike?
It is.
How are you doing?
Well, good, thank you.
Excellent. So, just calling you from the station, and I am recording you.
Okay.
Okay, just so you are aware. I don't like to be all sneaky.
Oh, fair enough.
So, I have some questions for you that's hunting related, and you are from the Rod and Gun Club.
The Crescent Valley Rod and Gun Club, yes. We're going to celebrate 100th year anniversary next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was originally founded in 1919.
Oh, wow.
Yes. We support hunting and fishing, outdoor activities for families and youth, and, conservation and sound wildlife management, all those kinds of things.
Okay, so it's not just a gun club.
Yeah, people are, we have a certified rifle range at Kid Creek that people use, and that's one of our main attractions, I guess. But we have now over 500 members in this little valley.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's quite a surprise to have so many people as a percentage of the population.
Yeah, so you have 500 members practicing. I would imagine that means that there's probably quite a few people hunting this season.
It is, and it's particularly in the Kootenays and in Crescent in particular, it's quite a family activity where, you see a lot of women hunting and families out fishing and hunting together.
I mean, hunting seasons start at different times, but when did hunting season start this year for deer and elk?
September 1st for bow hunters. So if you are an archer, and we have many, and we actually run a range for practice at Mawson Lake, on our Mawson Lake property, it started September 1st, and they get a 9-day jump on the season.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the rifle season started this Monday, September 10th.
Right, so that was just a few days ago.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what are the dangers of bow hunting compared to hunting with a rifle?
Frustration because you can't get close enough to the animal.
Yeah.
And, we've had some archers in the Kootenays suffer bear attacks in the last 2 or 3 years. It would be, if anything, perhaps less dangerous.
Okay.
I'm not sure. The thing is that hunting in general is one of the safest outdoor activities, proportionally.
Okay.
Safer than going on a picnic or hiking. Every hunter that you see with a rifle has passed 2 safety and knowledge tests, usually after a course. One, to have a firearm, you need a federal firearms permit, having passed a course and filled out a lot of paperwork. And the other thing is to hunt, to have a hunting license, you need to have passed the CORE program.
Okay.
Yeah, which we support in a big way, paying for the registration of youth who are usually someone between 10 and 18 taking the course.
Okay, and for adults who want to take the course,
where
would you go?
They could take it, they could study it online or contact one of the examiners through Mawson Sports.
Okay, so how would a regular hiker like me be able to determine if I'm hiking in a hunting zone or not?
Well, the thing is that most Crown land is, and even most provincial parks are open to hunting. So if you're not in a restricted area, like a municipality, there might be a hunter out there someplace, even in the flats. And you can get a hunting permit to hunt, for example, in the most of, not all of the wildlife management area on the flats.
Okay, so as a hiker who doesn't want to get accidentally shot at, what are some tips and tricks to make sure that you're visible and safe?
Well, for one thing, you notice that most of the hunters are out in camo trying to hide, so they're not too worried about being shot. First off, I guess you have to realize that the hunter has to identify the species, the sex, and often the maturity of the animal that they're going to harvest. For example, here you could only get a mature big bull elk with 6 points. So you have to be able to not only see the elk, but count the points on the antler.
Okay.
For a hiker, you know, it never hurts to have, you know, bright clothing. I mean, in some activities I'm doing, I wear a hunter orange cap, you know, bright. But, you know, seriously, we have a very healthy grizzly bear population in the Kootenays, and that's the biggest danger to a hiker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't have a rifle with you, mm-hmm. or even if you're bow hunting, and you encounter a grizzly, let's say you don't have bear spray, or you do, what do you do?
Ah, well, you know, they ran. There was a bear aware thing done this August with the conservation officers and so forth, which was good. I hope that outdoor users will. I think they do it every summer. It's just, you know, how to handle yourself. But, you know, you try to make yourself, make the bear aware, you know, speak to it, you know, with a grizzly bear, don't be aggressive. But the most effective thing is to carry spray. It's better than a rifle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more, you know, very effective. So.
Yeah, I only ask because, well, I know what to do because I did the West Coast Trail and I've been up the Kananaskis area. And
right.
So I carry bear spray with me, but you'd be surprised how many people think a bear bell works.
You know, it can help, I think. I've heard from
mountaineers that bear bells are, especially for black bears, it's more of a dinner bell. Saying humans are here, and where there's humans, there's food.
Yes, yeah. In the 70s, they brought in this hunter training program called CORE, and hunting accidents now are almost zero. In fact, years go by with zero people, you know, shooting themselves or someone else. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. So for all the hunters out there wondering, where should I go or where should I check out, where are some of the best spots to find these elusive 6-point elk?
Oh, that's the $1,000 question that no one is going to tell you their secret spot.
Ah, okay.
No one. other than that, they're everywhere and nowhere, you know, and you just have to get out and look and bugle. One of the exciting things about elk hunting is when they're in the rut later in September, you make a big bugle and they bugle back and you have a conversation. It's very exciting. And in general, you know, populations, I mean, people see lots of deer in their garden. They see lots of deer, elk on the flats. But populations are down in the Kootenays for elk, deer, and particularly mule deer. Partly we've had in the last 10 years quite an increase in the wolf population.
Mm-hmm.
So we have predators out there competing with us.
Right.
Yeah. Populations aren't very affected by hunting because hunting is so restricted, you know, in terms of time, in terms of the size of the animal and so forth.
Yeah, so there's a point system I kind of checked out. In terms of getting rid of pests and predators, what are some of the top ones you can look out for?
Well, you know, predators are very hard to see. You know, I've spent thousands and thousands of hours in the bush. I've never seen a cougar. I may have seen every other animal in British Columbia, but never a cougar. They are very smart, unless you have a dog. Wolves are probably the biggest influence right now in the way they're expanding. You know, the common predators on calves in the spring are black and grizzly bears and so forth.
Mm-hmm. So let's say you're in a situation where you shoot an elk, you thought it was a good clean kill, everything is gravy, and you get there and you realize, oh no, I made a mistake, this one was pregnant.
It happens. Well, the thing that happens sometimes here is you think a nubbin is a 6-point, and then when you take a closer look, you realize that this was an illegal 5-point elk. And if you are an honest person, this is not a big, you know, huge problem. I mean, it's a terrible mistake, but if you you need to immediately access and phone a conservation officer, tell him what happened. Then he gives you permission to bring the carcass out of the bush to him. Mm-hmm. And usually, I mean, he hears your story. And if it's an honest mistake, you have to cancel your tag. You lose the meat, which goes to, you know, somebody to use it. And you have a fine.
Okay, how much is that fine?
I don't know. A young friend of mine made a mistake on a calf moose. It was a small cow instead. And his fine at that time was only $100. But it may have gone up since then. I don't know.
Okay.
If you poach, you know, try to kill a cow or the wrong animal and sneak it home, and you are caught, the penalties are really severe. Depending on the situation, you can get a major fine, lose your rifle, perhaps. But significant for a lot of people is then that the director will often ban you from hunting for 2 to 5 years.
Well, so that's just not worth it. That's not worth it at all.
No, it's not worth it. It's better to call in. And so we have, we support the RAP program, which is Report a Polluter and Poacher. And that's phoning the conservation if you see suspicious activities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I moved from the city.
Yeah.
And I've maybe shot a 22 a couple times, and I'm thinking of getting into hunting and learning. Do you have any suggestions on how to get into the sport?
you know, I would take the core course, which is useful even if you don't end up hunting, because it gets into wildlife ID and wilderness survival and gun safety and all of that. And every other person you meet in this town is going to be a hunter, so, you know, ask a friend to take you to the rifle range and do some practicing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what's a good first rifle to purchase to practice with?
Oh, well, it depends. Just in general, you know, I mean, to improve your skills at 22. But as far as an all-around rifle, if you ended up hunting deer and elk, it's the old standby, grandpa's standby, 30-06.
Okay.
But, you know, Mawson Sports or Scotty up at Wendell Store can advise you that way. But it's good to, you know, try it out with a friend. And we have, you don't need to be a member of the Rod and Gun Club. If your friend is a member, they can get you a day pass and you can go out and do some shooting.
Right on.
Or give me a call. I'll take you out sometime.
That would be cool. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I definitely need to get my PAL course first.
Well, a lot of urban people now are turning to hunting because they realize that this is a sustainable way to get protein without, you know, needing to cut down a forest or grow corn. I don't know.
all those fun detrimental things happening in the Brazilian rainforest.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think I'm good for content here.
All right.
If there's anything you want to leave a comment about, just let me know.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Bye now.